In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. There is something particularly revelatory about the nature of our faith when we find ourselves confronted with difficulty and the responses that we have to those difficulties. Oftentimes, our disposition toward sacrifices and sufferings, toward inconveniences, is to resent them, to be resistant to them, to be unwilling to carry our crosses or embrace those sacrifices, or to bemoan the fact that they have come upon us and we find ourselves beset by them. We ask the question, why me? Why this? Why now? Could not this be given to someone else, someone more deserving of pain, suffering, and sacrifice? Could not those less fortunate than I maybe be given these pains, and since they're already dealing with pains and suffering? Or why is it that the good seem to suffer and the evil seem to prosper? And so we must ask ourselves, brothers and sisters, when we ask those questions, what then is the nature of my faith and the power and the promises of God that have been realized, made true and present in the body of our Lord and Savior, and the gift of himself in the most holy Eucharist? And this is not a rhetorical question to be asked, but one that must be part and form our ongoing spiritual growth. Precisely because we will always be confronting difficulties and sacrifices, and the response to those cannot be to wither under them, or to resent God for them, or to be unwilling to embrace the cross, or find ourselves somehow separate from the very things that will bring about our purification, if indeed we can be with Christ in the midst of everything. The question that always rests underneath, and a simple yet profound question, is, are we convicted of the things that we hear and believe? For each time you receive the living God, you make manifest that indeed you are convicted. Indeed you believe, and that your belief is not just intellectual assent when it is convenient, but the whole of your life is governed by the content of our Catholic faith. The whole of your life is governed by the content of our Catholic faith. Not those moments that are easy or convenient. Not those crosses with which you agree and therefore you willingly embrace them. Not in those moments when you feel you are prepared, but every aspect of your existence is governed by the things of God. Now that may seem a tall task, something difficult, maybe insurmountable to embrace. And in truth, apart from God, that is precisely what it is. A burden under which we would crumble over and over and over again. But God in his generosity has poured out grace upon grace so that we have given to us the strength and the courage that we need to live and endure, to thrive and to rise above and to be purified by the sacrifices that we are asked to endure in whatever form they may actually come. And when we come to our epistle and St. Paul's exhortation to the Romans, Romans is full of hope and confidence. And so the message that he puts before us to the Romans first, but then to us, is, do you not understand truly what it is that has happened to you? For to be baptized into Christ Jesus is to share in his death. And to share in the death of Christ is then to share in his new life. Therefore, there literally is nothing that man can do to you, that man can take away from you, that God himself has not already restored to you 10, 50, and 100-fold. Therefore, when you come up against resistance, however that resistance may manifest itself, your response should not be fear or doubt or resentment or anger, but rather should be hope and confidence, understanding the dignity that has been given to you, and the fruit that comes from the outpouring of water and the Holy Spirit. Do you actually believe this? This is a question I ask myself. Because in truth, I very easily give over to that frustration, that anger, that despair and resentment when there are difficulties to confront. I ask, why this after all that has been done? Why now at this point or moment in my life? Why me when all the sacrifices I have already made? Why are more being asked of me? Those are all the wrong questions and will always be the wrong question. There really should be no questioning. Rather, there should be acceptance. And the exception should not come from resignation and defeat. It should come from an opportunity yet again to live literally in my flesh, the reality that I profess with my lips, the reality that I have sealed by receiving the living God. You ask the Lord to test you, to purify you, to prepare you. And then when he precisely does that for you and he gives you opportunities to live out your Catholic life, you are mad at him and you resent him for it. What is it that you want? What is it that you want then for him to give to you? Do you want the mystery of the cross to purify you, to sanctify you, to strengthen you? Or do you simply want to live blithely in this world, being bounced around, knocked backwards and forwards by all the vagaries of the human condition, resenting what is happening to you, but resenting God more for actually allowing it to happen to you instead of taking advantage of the fact that this is an opportunity to grow in grace, to grow in holiness, to embrace the cross? If I am more animated than I normally am, it is because of the necessity of these realities for us. Because brothers and sisters, we know well and true, if we as Catholic men and women who truly believe these things cannot live them in our daily lives, then the world outside of these walls simply will crumble and fall. Yes, that is the responsibility that is upon your shoulders. You may not want it. You may actually at times feel ill-equipped to carry it. But the deliberate practice of our faith, to intentionally live our Catholic faith, to consciously embrace all that our faith truly bestows upon us, makes us cooperators with God's redemptive work, and therefore makes us integral to that which God wants to do for the salvation of souls, our own, yes, and the souls of the whole world. And so we have to accept in faith and then live in practice that which the Lord proclaims through St. Paul in the exhortation to the Romans. We are not slaves to sin. We are not controlled by our baser passions. We have, by the outpouring of grace, the ability to cooperate with the Lord, to live rightly with him, to order our existences from top to bottom, and in every moment of our lives, allow ourselves to be governed by the things of God. This can actually happen. The lives of the saints are a testament to that. All of the holy men and women who have gone before us, and those holy men and women that we know even now, who despite all of the difficulties they confront, all the crosses that they are asked to bear, and the sufferings that they endure, never forget in the midst of those who they are, sons and daughters who in baptism have died with Christ and now also share with him in new life. But then we come to our gospel, where the Lord in St. Mark's gospel feeds the 4,000, where he literally makes preparation for that which he will do for the whole world by giving us this bread that has come down from heaven. Lest we then not believe just the exhortation of St. Paul to the Romans, the Lord himself says, "Here, I will feed you and nourish you and take care of you and sustain you, so that whatever it is that you endure, good and bad, in season and out, you will always have my life in you. And therefore you will always and only approach the things of this world with my eyes and my heart and my hand, because you feed on me, and in feeding on me you have everlasting life." And in a few moments, many of us will come forward and we will present ourselves here at the extension of the altar, the communion rail, and we will receive the living God. And then we will leave here and we will go back to the practice of our lives as if the very reality we receive means absolutely nothing to us. You cannot receive the living God and not allow your life to be transformed. You should not receive the living God unless you are prepared for the fullest of the implications of taking God inside of yourself. This may seem to be a chastisement, but it is not that. It is an exhortation to you, yes, but to me also. And maybe to me and my brother priests even more so, precisely because we have no choice but to receive, and we have such intimate contact with our Eucharistic Lord. And yet how many times we as priests, myself as priest, I have faltered in doing that which God has asked me to do, I have refused to carry my cross. I have refused to die in order that I might live. What then do we do with all of this? We can be overwhelmed by it. We can reject it as the world has done, because Christianity, the practice of our Catholic faith, does require something from us. It costs us something. And so at least the lies that Satan tells us, it's simply easier to abandon it. Go and find your peace. Go be happy. Do what you want, when you want, how you want, with whomever you want, and your life will be better. We know that is a lie. We know that from our own existences. We know that from getting caught up in our own sins, that our lives are never better when we do what we want. Our lives are only better when we do the things of God. Or we can yet again, this moment, in this Eucharistic sacrifice, with the very graces that God is pouring out in our lives right now, we can resolve again today, as we should do every day, every moment of every day, to cooperate with the grace, to allow the living God whom we are about to receive to truly make himself manifest in us. This is putting on the new self, the new man, not a cloak that we take on and off, but a reality that is transformative from top to bottom, inside and out, and everything around us. We are presented very simply, yet again, an opportunity to ask ourselves, do I actually believe? Ultimately, you and God are the only ones that can ask and answer that question. God will know the answer in some ways even before you, and whatever comes forth from your lips, be aware of what it is that you are saying. Because indeed, if you do believe and you are convicted, then the world should be able to see it in the manner in which you live your lives. Whatever difficulties that you confront, you do so with joy and peace. And whatever crosses you embrace, you welcome them and praise God for that. And you realize and accept with peace and confidence that death in body and in spirit is nothing in comparison to the glories, the power, and the strength of new life in Christ. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen.